We're going to be in Judges chapter 14. We're going to be looking at just a couple of verses there, three verses actually. We preached in Judges chapter 14 this morning about Samson and not following God, and not listening to God, and all these things, and how we do that many times. But also, Samson is a type of Christ in the Bible. Many Old Testament characters are a type of Christ. We're going to be in verses 5, 6, 7, and 8, and 9. But Samson is a type of Christ in the Bible. Joshua was a type of Christ. Moses was a type of Christ. There's many types of Christ in the Old Testament. Now, they are not a perfect picture of Christ because only Christ is perfect. But if we look at certain aspects of their life, things that happened in their life, well, then we can see Christ in them. Like we've been studying the Passover on Exodus chapter 12, we can see Christ in the lamb there. Well, here we're going to see this, and there's also, we're going to be talking about the lion here. Now, the lion in this particular story is a type of the devil. So, Samson is going to represent Christ, and the lion is going to represent the devil. So, Judges chapter 14, verse 5. Then went Samson down and his father and his mother to Timnath, and they came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid, and he had nothing in his hand. But he told not his father or his mother what he had done. And he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. Verse 8. And after a time he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof in his hands and went on eating and came to his father and mother, and he gave them, and they did eat. But he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, again, we just thank you for your precious word. We thank you for what you've given us in the Bible. And God, we just ask tonight that you might uplift our hearts as we see the victory. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. There's nothing in the Bible that's not there for a reason. It's all there for a reason. And most of it points to Christ when we look at it. Now, this young lion attacks Samson. He gets off the beaten path. He gets away from his parents. He gets off the main road. And a young lion is one of the more fierce of the animals. It's not as cautious as the older lions. And it's very brave and courageous and going to prove what it can do. And they're strong. They're not old. This wasn't an old toothless lion or something another that attacked him. This lion had all of its vigor. This lion had all of its teeth. This lion had all of its claws. And this lion roared against him and came up to attack him. Now, I don't know if you've ever heard a lion roar. They have a deep roar that vibrates through and will shake your whole body when they roar. We was at the zoo one time here in Albuquerque, and one of those was up there, and he just was a roaring away. And man, you can and that's the first time I'd ever heard one. And I still remember it. It's the last time I've ever heard one. And hopefully the only time I hear one is in the zoo. But they are known as the king of beasts because of who they are and what they are and the power they have and the way they present themselves. And this roar is a very intimidating and a very fearful roar as it comes, and it just shakes your body as this volume of this loud voice and this roar comes out. Well, as we think of Satan, that's how he is. In 1 Peter 5:8, the Word of God says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." Now, most lions catch their prey by grabbing them around the throat and suffocating them. Most of the time, they'll grab their big claws, and they'll use their weight and their claws to come up and attack something and hang on to it and drag it down by their weight and by their power, and it'll grab their throat and either rip it out or hold on and suffocate the prey, and then they'll eat it. And they'll tear it up and chew it up. Well, as it says here, remember he went off the path. He went down into the vineyard. Lions are like, they are a cat, and they're sneaky. And they will stalk like a cat. If you have a house cat or something or another, and you play with them, a little ball or a little piece of fuzz or a string or something like that, you'll notice how they crouch all down real low, and they sneak up on it, and then when they get there, they just pounce and jump on it. Well, that's the way a lion works. A lion's just a lot bigger than your cat. But they all work the same way, and they all do the same things. So if you've got a little cat and you're watching him and you're playing with him, you think about how the devil works. That's the way he works. He's very low. He's very sneaky. He's very quiet. And he seeks, as it says in Peter, seeks whom he may be able to devour. That lion didn't come up to Samson so he could pet his mane and comb his hair and he sat in his lap and purr. That lion came up for one reason, to eat Samson. That's what that lion was there for. The lions are very beautiful animals. The devil is not some guy running around with a red suit with two pointed horns and a pitchfork and a pointy tail. That's what cartoons has made him to look like. He says he can appear as the angel of light. He has apostles, or not apostles, he has disciples that work for him. And they appear as anybody else. I mean, you're not going to have some big old ugly, vile looking thing come up and try and entice you away. No. He is very slick. He is very conniving. He is very smart. And he comes up and not like what he is. And then when he gets his chance, he devours. He devours. Well, in verse 6, it says, the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. God gave Samson a mighty power that he needed to face the devil, face that lion. God gives you the same power if you will stay close to him. He will give you the strength to conquer the devil when he attacks you through the Word of God, just as Jesus used Scripture to defeat the devil when he tempted him in the wilderness. As we think about Samson being a type of Christ, he'd look in the 22nd Psalm, and it talks about the lions and the bulls and the dogs compassing him and how he felt as he was on the cross. He came for one reason, to destroy. The whole goal of the devil is to destroy anything that has anything to do with God. The Spirit gave him a mighty power that he needed from God. He says he rent him as he would rent a kid, a baby goat. He tore. Rent means to tear. The lion comes to charge him. This young, vigorous, ferocious lion comes to charge him. And Samson meets him in the power of God and stops him and grabs him and just rips this lion apart. And it says here in our text, he had nothing in his hand. Jesus went to the cross alone. In Isaiah 63:3, the Word of God says, I have trodden the winepress alone, and all the people, there were none with me. He was alone. Samson was alone except for God. God came there and helped Samson. Nobody was there with Samson to help him. He didn't have any knives or spears or anything like that. It was just his bare hands, just him and God against the lion. Jesus was on that cross alone. It was him and the Spirit of God as he faced the devil at his own game on that cross. And during the 3 hours of darkness, even God had left him alone. Because when he came out of the 3 hours of darkness, he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because during those 3 hours of darkness, he took all the sins of the whole world upon him. And sin separates from God. And we are separated from God because of sin. And Jesus had to pay that price of separation from God the Father. That is the only time in eternity that Jesus was separated from his Father. And the only time he will ever be separated from his God the Father was on those 3 hours of darkness on that cross, and it will never happen again. And that's the only time it did happen. But Samson doesn't tell anybody what happened. He doesn't tell his parents what happened. It wasn't a thing of boasting and pride. It was just something that happened in his life. Well, he leaves. He sees this woman. He goes back home, and I don't know, several months or somewhere down the road. We don't know exactly how long, but he comes back again to see this woman. In the process of that, he goes off the path, goes down in the vineyard to see the carcass of the lion. Well, somewhere down the line, something that they had cleaned up the carcass, the animals, the vultures, the javelinas or wolves or whatever it was there, coyotes, whatever they had there, had cleaned up the carcass. The birds, they'd cleaned up the carcass. Well, the land of Canaan is known as the land flowing with milk and honey. There's like 20 or 30 some odd references in the Bible referring to the land flowing with milk and honey. There was a lot of bees in that land. Well, when he goes down there, it's been long enough for the bees to set up a hive and to make honey. And this is where he gives them the riddle for this parable that he had the bet with all those 30 men. Out of the eater came meat, out of the strong came forth sweetness. This is a riddle that he puts forth to them men to tell them what it is. We talked about that this morning. As I thought about this, why the honey? Why the honey out of the lion? The lion represents the devil. Samson represents Christ. Why sweet from the devil? Well, the lion is dead. The lion is dead. The lion is no more threat. The lion is never going to attack anybody again. That lion is never going to eat anybody again. That lion is never going to roar at anybody again. That lion has been killed. He says, out of the eater came meat. He was an eater of meat, and his body became food for other animals. We mentioned here this morning during Sunday school class, if all somebody wants is fire insurance, that's not salvation. Not only, I mean, it would be a miracle enough just to escape hell. That would be a great miracle to know that you don't have to go to hell when you get saved. But that's only half the story. Because not only do we not have to go to hell, but we get to go to heaven. The lion has been killed. The devil's death blow was given upon the cross. The devil has lost. Jesus has won. The tomb is empty and he's in heaven. And someday we're going to be there. There is a sweet victory that we have. There is the sweet victory of the sweetest natural sugar that they have. Honey has so many healing qualities around. They put it on cuts. They give it for coughs. They give it for all kinds of things. Honey is a great for allergies, all kinds of things. Honey, great honey does great things. In England for a while and some other countries, honey was so expensive and so rare, it was used to pay the rent with. And honey will last forever on the shelf. Even if it gets there so long it turns to sugar, all you got to do is heat it up again and it's honey again. And even as sugar, it's good. And it's one of the most natural sweeteners that there is. And God made it through a little bee. We cannot make honey. We cannot go get the pollen. We cannot put it in some factory or something somewhere. We cannot make honey. Only God's little bee can make a honey. And they said a bee is aerodynamically impossible to fly. It should not fly. By the laws of science, a bee should not fly. But it does. And what is honey? Bee spit. You know, basically that's what it is, isn't it? You know they have a special honey, super honey, that they feed one bee, and that makes that bee turn into a queen and give all the eggs? They have a special honey they give her and changes them. The one that eats meat became meat for others. The young, ferocious lion became sweet. He had some extra joy from that victory. Oh, it was a gruesome thing when he faced that lion. It was a scary thing when he faced that lion. It was a terrible thing when he faced that lion. That lion roared at him and he had to stand up with the courage of God and face him. But God gave him the victory. And then he comes back again and God gives him even more victory. He gives him the sweet honey to his palate and brings him joy to his stomach and to his mouth and enlightens his eyes and gives him extra strength. He enjoyed the victory. There's nothing wrong with enjoying a victory over Satan in your life. There's nothing wrong with being excited that you're saved. There's nothing wrong with being excited about heaven. There's nothing wrong with having a joy in your life that you know that someday you're going to walk the streets of gold and you're going to see Jesus. That is the honey of the victory that Jesus won on that cross. The cross was a terrible, vile, wicked, ugly, disgusting way to die. Jesus said Isaiah said he was marred more than any other person's ever been marred in their whole life. His body was ripped and tore and blood and shattered. He looked like a hunk of raw meat hanging up there on that cross. He's not like the little pictures we have hanging on our walls, the little loincloth around him or nothing like that. No, he was his own mother wouldn't have recognized him when they looked at him. He has been beaten so bad. Have you ever seen somebody that's been beaten, their face is kind of swollen up or something like that? They don't even look like the right person. Jesus' whole body was that way. As he faced the devil in his own game. But he won. He won. He came through death. He came through the tomb. And he came out of that tomb. And he's alive today. You know what else? Excuse me. Samson took that sweet victory. That honey. And the comb in his hand. And he took it up. And he shared it with his parents. He didn't tell them where he got it from. But he shared it. Because it was something wonderful. And it was a blessing. And it was beautiful in his life. He didn't tear off a bone of the lion and take, hey, looky here. No. He didn't pull one of his teeth out and say, hey, looky here, and make him a necklace out of it. No. He took that beautiful honey of that comb and took it out of there and enjoyed it and gave it to his parents. And they had the blessings of the victory of Samson. That's how the good news is spread. Because it's sweet and it's beautiful and it's great. And you want to share something that's great. You want to share something that's sweet. You want to share something that's beautiful. You want to share something that's wonderful. You've got some great news. You've got some of the best honey you've ever had. You've got some of the best news that you've ever had. You've got some of the sweetest joy that you've ever had in your life. You've got a victory in your life. Your life is sweet. Your life is joyful. Your life is full of joy. And you want to share that. And you take it out and you share it. And they enjoy the blessings also. Because something great happened in your life. In Psalms 81, it says, he should have fed them also with the finest of wheat, and with honey out of the rock should I have satisfied thee. There's a song called Honey Out of the Rock. There's a singing group called Honey Out of the Rock. The rock in the Bible represents Jesus. Psalms 81:16. In the Bible, the rock is, Jesus represents a rock. A rock represents Jesus. Get honey out of the rock. A rock is solid. A rock is stable. A rock is a foundation. A rock is always a rock. And it's always going to be counted upon. But there's honey out of the rock. This sermon this morning might have been a little hard. But it was from the Word of God. And sometimes we need that. But there's also honey in that same rock. That rock was called a rock of offense and called a stumbling stone to those that would not accept it. But before you can get honey out of the rock, you've got to go to the rock. And you're going to change the rock. The rock is always going to be a rock. The rock is shaped the way it's going, a rock. And the rock's going to be a rock. And you're not going to change that rock. You're not going to change Jesus. You're not going to change the way Jesus is. You're not going to change Jesus' salvation. You're not going to change what Jesus wants to do in your life. You're not going to change how Jesus wants to direct your life. You're not going to change that. Jesus is consistent. He's the same yesterday and today and tomorrow. There is no shadow of turning with Jesus. He's always the same. His rules and guidelines through the Bible have always been the same. From the beginning of time, God has had the same standards. God has had the same guidelines through all of creation, through all of the Bible. Jesus has always expected the same thing out of all of his followers. And you're not going to change that. But there's still honey there. There's still sweetness there. But that's only when you get the victory. If you're not following the rock, if you're not staying with Jesus, you're not going to get the victory. In Psalms 91:10, it says, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey, and in the honeycomb. You see, let's go over there to Psalms 19. I want you to see that in Psalms 19. So many people, all they want is the honey. That's all they want. They don't want anything else. All they want is the honey. They don't want to mess with the lion. All they want is the honey. Well, it don't work that way. There wasn't going to be any honey until he killed the lion. And Psalms 19, verse 10 is the one we read. But if you go up to verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul, the scriptures. The testimonies of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, what he's written, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. See all the things about the law, the testimonies, the statutes, the commandments? The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous. More to be desired are they. What is to be desired? The law, the testimonies, the statutes, commandments, the fear of the Lord, true and righteousness altogether. That's what's to be desired. Then gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. The honey. The honey is a reward. The honey is staying close to the Word of God. The honey, to get the honey, you stay with the law, you stay with the testimonies, you stay with the statutes, you stay with the commandments, you stay with the fear of the Lord, you stay with His judgments, you stay with His truth, you stay with His righteousness. As it says here in 7, 8, and 9. And then in verse 11, is there a great reward? The honey was a reward. The honey was a reward for Samson for standing up to the lion. The honey was a reward for Samson because he had the God working in his life. The honey was the victory that he got over the lion. Not only did he get the victory over the lion, but he got the honey too. You can have the sweet victory of the honey in your life. You can have the joy of Samson in your life that day. Samson was happy as he could be that day, munching on that honey. Everything was great. He was on cloud nine. Everything was beautiful. That honey was enlightening him and strengthening him and encouraging him. And he was having a good day that day. That can happen in your life too, if you follow God's guidelines. You can have honey in your life. You can have joy in your life. You can have sweetness in your life. If you don't feel that way, then ask yourself why. If you can't find any honey in your life, ask yourself why. If you don't have the joy of God swelling up in your bones, then ask yourself why. Maybe there's some of these commandments or statutes or testimonies or whatever it is that you're not going by. Maybe you're not fighting the lion. Maybe you're buddies with the lion. I don't know. But God wants you to be happy. Oh, there's fires, there's trials, and there's storms. But you can still come through them. One of the greatest examples, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were happy. They were joyful. They were staying close to God, even in the fire. Because God brought them through it. Paul and Silas, they were singing in jail. Been beat and put in stocks, and they were singing in jail. Hurting too bad to sleep. So they were singing. You see, there's always honey. The honey is always there. But you've got to be following God if you want the honey. You don't get the honey without fighting the lion. You don't get the honey unless you stand on the rock. You don't get the honey unless you follow God's guidelines. But listen, folks. There's honey out there. Deuteronomy 32:13. He made him ride on the high places of the earth. that he might eat the increases of the fields. He made him to suck honey out of the rock and oil out of the flint rock. It's there. Proverbs 24:13, my son, eat thou honey because it is good, and the honeycomb which is sweet to thy taste. Is the word of God sweet to you? Is it a treasure to your heart? Ate it, it was bitter, but then it was sweet. Come to God. Follow God's guidelines. Follow God's book. And you can have a lot of honey in your life. If you don't have any honey in your life right now, then ask yourself why. And God will tell you. And then figure out what you're going to do about it. God's way or your way? God's way is only the only way that's right. When I say the way of a man there seems right to him, but the end thereof is destruction. It's God's way. Let's stand on our feet while we have a time of invitation and see what God has for us here tonight. There's honey in the rock. There's honey in the victory. And there should be some sweetness in your life to follow Jesus as he helps you. Dear Jesus, we just ask that you'll watch over us and guide us and direct us. And God, we ask that you'll be in this time of invitation. If there's someone here that needs to get something right between them and God, then let them do it here tonight at this old-fashioned altar. We ask these things in the name of Jesus.